You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
It's been 3 months since a devastating earthquake shook Haiti, and to update us on the heroic efforts of the Haitian people, its government, and international organizations to rebuild, we are joined by Roger Annis. Roger Annis is a member of Haiti Solidarity BC and a coordinator with the Canada Haiti Action Network. Hello, Roger.
Hello, good day.
And thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, as I just mentioned, it's been 3 months since the earthquake, and just ahead of the hurricane season, have refugee camps been built?
Yes and no. The situation overall remains very concerning. More than 1 million people were left homeless by the earthquake, and probably, I think it's safe to say that a majority and probably a significant majority of those do not have the kind of shelter that can withstand the rains that have begun to fall and that are only going to worsen, and heaven forbid if a hurricane should strike Haiti. So it's a deeply concerning situation.
And what did Doctors Without Borders say about the relief efforts?
Well, I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago that summarized what the medical agencies as well as other people on the ground in Haiti are saying about the situation, and they sounded a note of considerable alarm. They said both Doctors Without Borders and Partners in Health said that the relief effort to date, and this was 2.5 months after the earthquake, have been inadequate, too slow, ineffective coordination, and above all, they're concerned about the absence of minimum shelter for the population that's exposed to the elements. Many other voices are raising the same concern, including Sean Penn, who's helped to found an important organization that's dealing with one refugee camp that houses about 60,000 people in Haiti. And he's been repeatedly on CNN on the roughly weekly interviews that he's been giving to Anderson Cooper, has been sounding a similar alarm. Everything is going too slowly, and the coordination is ineffective.
Partners in Health said that only $1 out of every $100 in aid money is reaching the Haitian government. Where's it going?
Well, it's going to it's being spent by the foreign governments or by the agencies, NGOs and others that they support and finance. The Red Cross would be a large one of those. World Vision, Save the Children, Oxfam. These are very large international agencies that have been in Haiti since the earthquake. They're doing effective relief work, for sure. They're creating shelter. They're providing food, water, and so forth. However, the concern that Partners in Health, especially, although many others as well, the concern they voice is that they want to see the relief and then the reconstruction effort in Haiti be done together with the Haitian government, that it be done in a way that's respectful of Haiti's sovereignty, because not only is that the most effective way in which relief could be delivered, but it's also the only way in which Haiti's long-term economic and social development can take place. There must be a sovereign government in Haiti whose decisions are sovereign to it, and that are reflective of the needs of the Haitian people. And Partners in Health in particular has signaled that they are very dissatisfied with what they're seeing in that respect.
Are international organizations coordinating with or taking direction from the Haitian government?
Some are, and those are the best. Those are the most effective. Partners in Health, Sean Penn's organization, lots and lots of smaller projects, and to some extent the larger NGOs. But the $1 figure that you mentioned, I think, is very reflective of the situation. Of every $100 in aid money that's been committed, or that, let's say, that's arrived in Haiti, only $1 of that has gone into the hands of the Haitian government. Partners in Health has recently said that the Haitian government has only received $10 million in actual funds, cash, with which to operate a government and its relief services. This is a country of 10 million people. That amount of money is a joke. This is reflective of the problem, which is that Haiti, I think, is already not receiving enough of the aid and assistance that's required given the magnitude of the disaster, but it's being done in a way that is, consciously or not, bypassing by and large the government, its agencies, and this is a situation that is unacceptable and must change.
You mentioned some of the large organizations like the Red Cross and so on. What's happening with the money that they're getting?
Well, I can't, you know, speak of any particular agency. I think the ones that are most known to the world, such as the Red Cross and World Vision, Oxfam, and so forth, for sure the money that people are contributing in Canada or elsewhere to those agencies is finding its way into Haiti. It's building shelter. It's assisting with medical clinics and the like, providing food and water and so forth. But to what extent, you know, these agencies are working together with and helping to strengthen Haitian capacity is the real test of their effectiveness. And in general, the pattern in Haiti is that the international aid effort is simply swamping the country, and it's not particularly aiding in developing and strengthening Haitian capacity. The exceptions to that, as I mentioned earlier, would be Partners in Health, would be a lot of smaller projects that some listeners would be familiar with and perhaps even engaged in themselves. But, you know, when you look at the $1 per $100 figure, that's only that going to the Haitian government, that's indicative of a problem, which is that, first of all, the huge relief effort is required, but secondly, in whose interests will Haiti be rebuilt? Will it be rebuilt in the interests of international financiers, in the interests of investors that want to take advantage of Haiti's cheap labor, or will it result in a Haiti that has strengthened healthcare and education, that has an agricultural economy that's been largely destroyed by the past several decades of export policies of the big powers? So those are the big questions that lie before us.
Turning now to the Canadian effort, what did the Canadian government do to help the people of Haiti?
Well, we were dissatisfied with that effort, and I don't think enough attention has been placed on this within Canada's mainstream media to examine this. First of all, Canada did not send its civilian emergency rescue teams to Haiti. It made a decision not to, one of the few large countries to not do that. Secondly, its official response, and I'm talking about the government response, not the heroic efforts that many Canadian individuals and agencies did in the days after the earthquake. Its official response was two warships, and they arrived off the south coast of Haiti, Laogan and Jacmel, 1 week after the earthquake. As we later learned, they actually weren't that well equipped or supplied with emergency help. Now, certainly the military personnel on board pitched in after some initial hesitation for a day or two because they had this very misguided preoccupation about policing and security. But they set about to do some of the really basic emergency assistance that was required. But they pulled out 2 months later. And in fact, the manner in which they pulled out of Jacmel in particular was quite destructive, and the Globe and Mail reported on this on its front page 10 days ago. Meanwhile, the financing that Canada is providing to Haiti is beginning to assume the same patterns of neglect and a violation of Haiti's national sovereignty that were very prevalent prior to the earthquake, ever since the election of Jean-Bertrand Aristide in the year 2000, and then the overthrow of his elected government in 2004.
You mentioned that when the Canadian military left, it was quite destructive. How so?
Well, as the Globe and Mail reported, and as people that we talked to on the ground reported, Canada, first of all, withdrew the air traffic control center that it had established at the Jacmel Airport, which was a vital, a necessary and vital link in the process of getting emergency supplies landed at the airport there and avoiding the lengthy and difficult transportation route by road from Port-au-Prince. So they pulled that out when they left, didn't leave it in place and train Haitian or other personnel to operate it. So flights into Jacmel ceased after the Canadian pullout, and this was at the beginning of March, about approximately a month ago. They also withdrew the heavy lift equipment out of the port, which allowed ships, containers, and other heavy equipment on ships to be unloaded. And so there is some semblance of unloading of shipping that's being cobbled together now in Jacmel, but certainly nothing compared to what they had. So this was barely reported in Canada's media. Fortunately, the Globe and Mail reported on it, and so some of us became aware. So yes, they also withdrew the medical facilities that had been established, and I think you can't argue that medical facilities are not going to be needed in the weeks and months ahead. And so, you know, it has the appearance of the military presence, which was a flawed approach to the relief effort in any event, but as largely a public relations exercise, a couple of months of pitching in and helping out with food and water distribution, maybe building a little bit of shelter, doing some medical assistance, and then 2 months later it's over. Well, this is the most destructive natural disaster that certainly this hemisphere has faced, and really one of the largest that the world has faced in many, many decades on the scale or even actually beyond the Asian tsunami of 2005. And so there's no justification to see the pullout of these vital resources. And I think it's just indicative of the problem with Canada's relationship with Haiti and the need for much more of a national dialogue in Canada about what Canada is doing in Haiti what it should be doing.
And do you have any events planned to raise people's awareness about the problems still facing Haitians?
We do, and I certainly invite listeners to participate with us. Firstly, on Monday, this Monday, April 12th at 4:30 p.m., we're having a rally at the corner of Georgia Street and Hamilton to express concern about the aid and relief situation in Haiti, and to demand more accountability on the part of Canada's government as well as Canada's media. And so that will take place at 4:30 p.m. Georgia Street in Hamilton. It's approximately for 1 hour. And this is at the location of the offices of the Canadian International Development Agency and the CBC. And on Saturday, April 24th at 4 p.m., a speaker from Haiti will be in Vancouver for 3 days, Duquesne Raphael, who's a Haitian trade unionist. He's here at the invitation of the Canadian Union of Public Employees. And so that will be at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, which is at 655 Burrard Street, 4 p.m. on April 24th. That's up on the 34th floor. And that's a public meeting that's organized by the Canadian Union of Public Employees, and we're one of the co-sponsors of it. So again, welcome listeners to come out and attend one or both of those events.
Well, Roger, thanks for coming in and updating us and bringing these events to our awareness.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for your interest.
We've been speaking with Roger Annis, who is a member of Haitia Solidarity BC and a coordinator with the Canada-Haitia Action Network.